Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Very often, we as Christians meet with resistance when we tell others about Jesus Christ. In today's reading from John, we meet a man named Nathanael, who doubted that Jesus from Nazareth could possibly be the Messiah. But his evangelist, Philip, rather than arguing or debating with him, said something simple, "Come and see." In this message delivered to the residents of Pittman Manor, we find that we can learn something from Philip in our dealings with non-believers today. So grab your Bible, turn it to John chapter 1, and prepare your heart and mind to encounter the risen Christ as we come and see. Well, my name is Reverend Brett Walker. I've been here a couple of times. I've done a couple of the Sunday morning services, and I've done Vespers once, and this will be my second time here. And I want to thank you for inviting me back to preach the good word that God has left for us in His Holy Scripture. And I'm going to be reading to you today from the book of John, the first chapter, verses 43 through 51. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us this day. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. I think about this passage a lot. One of the very first sermons I ever preached, even before I was a pastor, I preached from this text, and I preached it down at the Grove during the summer. What struck me then was the simple way that Philip called Nathanael. In today's world, we are met with a great deal of opposition for the good news of Jesus Christ. There are people in this world who deny that any of this stuff in the Bible ever happened, despite the fact that there is historical evidence that suggests that there was a man who walked on the earth, whose name was Jesus, who came from Nazareth. Even the Jewish historian Josephus wrote about his miracles, and wrote about his crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. So we know that these things did happen. There are many witnesses that attest to this fact. In fact, we find four witnesses in the pages of Holy Scripture. But today, for some reason, people have decided not so much to call into question the words of the Bible itself, but to call into question the very validity of the book that we know of as the Bible. The Bible is 66 books, all in all, 27 in the New Testament and 39 in the Old. The 39 in the Old Testament were established long before Jesus ever walked the face of the earth. So we can just assume that those are valid. The 27 that were written after Christ was crucified, dead, buried, and arose again, those were written within about 20 to 25 years of his crucifixion. Now, most people today don't understand that when you tell stories that go down from generation to generation to generation, that those stories are very reliable. It's not like playing Whisper Down the Lane or the telephone game. Today, the oral word is not as important as it was 2,000 years ago. But 2,000 years ago, they didn't have printing presses. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. They couldn't text things to people and tell people what was going on. They had to go to people and tell them what they had seen, what they had heard. And on the witness of two or more witnesses, it was considered to be reliable. We have here four witnesses who attest to the life and the persecution, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that is good enough for me. This man named Philip was a person that Jesus called. Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from a town called Bethsaida. Now, the day before, Philip and Andrew had been following John the Baptist. And John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God. This is the man that I've been telling you about." All along, John had been saying, "I am not the Messiah. The one who comes after me, I am not worthy to untie his shoes. And I must decrease so that he may increase." These are some of the things that John said about Jesus. When John saw Jesus walking along, he pointed out Jesus to his disciples, Andrew and Philip, and said to them, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And immediately Andrew and Philip stopped following John and started following Jesus. The next day, we're told, Jesus found Philip and said, "Follow me." Now Philip went and he found his friend Nathanael. We don't know much about Nathanael except it says that he was under a fig tree. Now, one thing that Jews had at this time, on their property, most of the time they would have two things, a fig tree and a vine. And the vine would be for grapes, and the fig tree would be for figs. So we know that Nathanael was a fairly well-to-do person. He had his own fig tree, and he was laying around underneath the fig tree. And Philip said to him, "We have found him. We have found him." This is great news. The Jews had been waiting hundreds and thousands of years for this Messiah to come and deliver them from the hands of their oppressors, from the Romans. And so Philip, very excitedly, goes to Nathanael and says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." It would be as if I were to say to you, "We have found the person who is going to deliver us from our slavery. His name is George. He's the son of Joe, and he is from Glassboro. This is what Nathaniel says. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He says, really? This person that you're all excited about is from Nazareth? This little podunk town? It would be as if I said, George from Glassboro? Can any good thing come from Glassboro? Nathaniel did not believe. But what did Philip say? He said simply. He didn't break down a discourse. He didn't take out the scriptures and say, well, this proves everything about Jesus. And argue with him and tell him that he was wrong. No. All Philip said was this. Come and see. If you don't believe me, Nathaniel, come and see for yourself. Friends, this is what we have to do for people who don't know Jesus Christ. We invite them to come and see. Sometimes the hardest cases, sometimes the toughest nuts to crack, are the ones that all they have to do is come into the presence of Jesus the Christ. Come and see. There are people who need to see for themselves. They need to witness the greatness that is Jesus Christ. We can talk about Jesus. We could talk about the things that he has done for us. But until someone comes and sees it on their own, they may not believe it. And that's exactly what happened with Nathaniel. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. Before I was a pastor, I was a layperson at Pittman United Methodist Church. But before I was a layperson at Pittman United Methodist Church, I believed in God. I believed in God, but I didn't go to church. I didn't intimately know my Savior, Jesus Christ, then as I know him now. Even before that, I was a mess. Back in the early 1990s, you wouldn't have wanted to see me. You wouldn't have wanted to know me. I was on drugs, drinking alcohol. I was abandoning my family. I was just the worst kind of person. Very selfish, very self-indulgent. Not a very nice person at all. People didn't like me very much. I had long hair. I had a scraggly beard. Well, I still have the beard. But I was just one of those people that if you saw me coming, you'd turn and walk the other way, or you'd cross the street so you wouldn't have to pass me and say hello. That's the kind of person that I was. Back then, I didn't know of any God. I didn't believe in God. I was raised in the Pittman Church, but after high school, I lost my faith. And so I wandered for many years, and for those many years, I didn't believe in God. And I was just a really wretched person. But I thought I was a great guy. I thought I was the nicest person you'd ever want to meet. It wasn't until later that I found out that people really didn't want to be around me because I wasn't a nice guy. All I ever did was talk about myself and tell everybody else how they were wrong and how much smarter I was than them. I had to encounter the risen Christ. And it took a lot of prayer by a lot of people. It took prayer by my youth leader, who was Reverend Don Polk. He's now at Aldean. And also the preacher's wife here at Pittman. Her name was Judy Reasoner. She prayed for me for many, many years. And between them praying for me and God working in my life, I came to at least understand that, yes, there is a God. But it took many years for me to get to a point where I could say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And what happened? I had to come and see. When I first set foot in the Pittman Church in 2008, I didn't really know Jesus Christ. I had to come and see. And the one thing that I encountered when I was there was that Christ is alive. Christ is in all of us. Christ is living today and speaking through us. People are talking to me all the time about Jesus. And I wasn't listening. I had shut myself off. I had turned myself down. And now I had opened myself up to the risen Savior. And Jesus entered into my life. It was a transformation. I'm a different person today. By the grace of God, I have not had to use drugs in over 20 years. It's been a great awakening for me. But it's only possible not because people kept telling me how wrong I was, not because people kept telling me that Jesus is the only way, but that I had to come and see on my own. This is what happened when Nathanael came and saw. Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me?" "How do you know me?" Nathanael says. Jesus answered and said, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." It was a very simple thing that he said. He could have maybe followed Philip and saw him, but no, he was telling him, "I saw you when you were under your fig tree." And Nathanael said, "Rabbi." Rabbi. It's a term of honor. Like if we were to call someone a doctor today. "Rabbi," he said, "thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." In just that one statement, Jesus changed this man's heart. And he went from saying, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" to saying, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said to him, "Was it only because I said I saw you under the fig tree? Is that all it took?" He said, "You will see greater things than these." Now, friends, this is the passage, though, the verse that I want to explain to you. Because when I read this past week, it really opened up in my mind. Verse 51, Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Where do we know that image from? Angels ascending and descending. All the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, when Jacob slept, and he says he dreamed, "And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." Jesus was saying, "I am the ladder. I am the way to heaven. I am the way." Later on, he says to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." That's why it's so important that we witness Jesus to our friends, to our relatives, to our loved ones, to people that we know. We witness Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and the things that He has done for us. And if Jesus could give the transformation that He gave to me, I know that He can give the same transformation to other people that I know who may be in the same situation that I was once in. That's why I don't worry about my children when they rebel. I know that all I have to do is be a good father, to show them what Jesus has done for me, to say to them, "If you don't believe me, come and see. Jesus will reveal himself. He will show who he is. And here to Nathanael, he said, I am the ladder. I am the ladder that Jacob saw. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What a remarkable statement. Jesus, the way, the only way. And we as people should not be concerned that there is only one way to get to heaven. But we should be amazed that there is a way at all. That there is a way to get to heaven. Jesus came. God stepped off his throne. He became a man. He humbled himself and lived among us. He was the light of the world. He showed his people what was true. And then he took the sins of the world to the cross and nailed them there and left them there. They are still there today. My name was on his lips as he hung on that cross. Your name was on his lips as he hung on that cross. He did that for me. He did that for you. And he did that for everybody. The Bible tells us God so loved the world. Not just a few people. Not just the Jews. Not just the people who deserve to get into heaven. No. God loved the whole world. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing promise. So often, friends, we live for the life here on earth and not for the eternity that follows. But that eternity is where we are headed. That eternity is our home. That eternity is where we belong. God has adopted us into his family through his Son, Jesus Christ, and says, you are joint heirs with Christ for all of God's kingdom. What an amazing, amazing God we have who loves us that much. And I'll tell you that if he could do that for me, he could do that for anybody. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your faith. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Your Son, the way, the truth, the life. Your Son, that ladder that the angels ascend and descend from heaven. What more can be said about Jesus the Christ? For our friends, Lord, for our relatives who may not know Jesus Christ, we pray. We pray that they would come and see, and that Jesus would reveal himself, would open their eyes, and would save them from all eternity without you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give our lives to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, it's hard to believe, but the Lenten season is already upon us, and we have some very exciting worship opportunities we'd like to share with you. Our Ash Wednesday service will be held at Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn at 7 p.m. on February 18th. And every Wednesday night during Lent, we will be participating in the Community Lenten Series at Union Presbyterian Church in Carneys Point. Each Wednesday, we will gather for soup and fellowship at 6 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., we will have a short devotional based on the Psalms. It promises to be an edifying and uplifting time, so come on out and join us. And if our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.